and all the time. Amen. I wish to speak to you on that subject this morning, on the goodness of God. The goodness of God. We've all heard that statement we just did there, God is good all the time God is good. And it's become somewhat cliche, but still, it's true, isn't it? God is good. I don't know that I know that we don't fully understand the goodness of God. I believe if one were to dedicate their whole life to the study of the subject, at the end of their life, they would still not know the goodness of God as the goodness of God is. I believe it will be like the Queen of Sheba when she went to Solomon to learn of his wisdom, and she said the half was not told. When we reach glory and we fully then, or to a greater extent, understand the goodness of God, we had no idea of the goodness of God. He has been and He was so good to us. Amen. He's good. Let's take our time together, and I pray that it will be beneficial to us as we think upon the goodness of God. Psalm 145 is the last of the Psalms of David. It introduces the following Psalms of praise. Spurgeon said this was David's favorite psalm. While we can't tell in the English, this psalm is among the acrostic psalms. An acrostic psalm was where each verse begins with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are other psalms such as Psalm 9, Psalm 10, Psalm 25, 34, and 37 are written in this form. You may have noticed that Psalm 119 is sectioned in an acrostic form. So the acrostic form of writing, of course, the Psalms are songs. They're full of poetry. But this is another way of rendering forth praise to God in a way that is literary, acrostic. It was said that when one would write in this way, it would be like to exhaust the subject of which they were writing upon. It was all that we can know about this from A to Z, you might say. It was a way of writing in which to help the hearers and the learners of the Word of God to remember it better. As they would work through the alphabet, they could remember each verse. A way to teach children this psalm and other psalms. It was a way to help them to remember as they went through the alphabet. David, in this psalm, he seems to give much acknowledgement for the people to praise God, to offer unto God praises. He speaks of extol, bless, praise. He says, men shall speak. He says, I will declare. He uses in verse 7, abundantly utter. Sing aloud and give thanks. So Psalm 145, let's read the psalm together. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of Thy glorious honor, of Thy majesty, and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All the works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of thy glory, of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down, the eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill their desire, the desires of them that fear him. He will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let us pray. Father, as we gather this morning and as we look to your word, we thank you that you are a good God. Your greatness is unsearchable. Father, we can only know in part of your goodness. But my, how your goodness abounds to your people. Father, help us to get a glimpse of this morning, that it might encourage our hearts, encourage our lives, encourage our walk, that we serve a good and gracious God. Father, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to turn your attention back to verses 7 through 10, which will be our main text. It says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. I want to give you three things this morning for us to think upon, to dwell upon, to digest mentally this morning and even in our heart, that God is good in creation. God is good in creation. Number two, God is good to his creatures. And number three, God is good in the new creation. Let's notice that God is good in creation, at the latter part of verse 9, it says, his tender mercies are over all his works. In all the works of God, we can attest that they are good. We can specifically see this in the opening chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, where after each creating act, after each day, God would create, and it says there that God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. That which God creates is good. So he created the sixth day. He created man. He created Adam and Eve. He put them together. And then in verse 31, it says, and God saw that everything that he had made, and it was very good. He said it was very good. God created out from himself, speaking forth the things that are. And he created each thing, and after everything was created, he saw that it was very good, because everything that he had made was working in unison and in harmony to the glory of God. And he said, it is very good. That which a holy and just and righteous and good God creates reflects his goodness. Even now, in fallen, after the fall, all of creation, though it is falling, though the earth is yearning for the day of the sons of men, it's wanting to be restored, still the earth in its fallen state is giving God glory. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Have we not all seen a sunset and been in awe of God? Have we not all seen things of beauty throughout creation and just we wow at our Creator? I remember a time that Diane and I had the opportunity to go to New Zealand. I may have told this before, I don't know, but I'm going to tell it again. We got to go to New Zealand. We had a missionary there that a church I was pastoring at that time supported, and we were had the opportunity to go to New Zealand. I think we need to get a missionary in New Zealand. Amen. So we were there and visiting and encouraging the missionary and having a good time. He said, I want to show y'all something. And of course, just being there, I mean, everywhere you look, it's beautiful in New Zealand. He said, I want to take you to a certain beach. It was New Brighton Beach. And he and his wife, they drove us down there. And when we drove up kind of into the parking lot, there was a knoll, and we couldn't see the beach. And so he said, just walk over the hill there and take a look. So Diane and I, we walked up, and we went up the hill. And when we topped the hill, I mean, it was like a full experience. The wind hit us in the face, the smell of the ocean, and then the sight of this cove beach with a lighthouse. I mean, it was amazing. It was breathtaking, literally. I mean, what does the atheist say? Wow, the Big Bang. How does that work? Wow, Mother Nature is great. It's amazing how all these things formed and came together, and look at all this beauty. Only God can do that. Only a great and glorious God can bring forth these things that make us be in awe of Him. God is good in creation. Maybe you remember the passage in Isaiah 6 where Isaiah was given a glimpse of the throne of God. And of course he fell, but you remember the seraphims that were there who beheld God at all times? It was as if they were given the opportunity to look away from God and to look to the earth. And so they turn and they look to the earth, and as Isaiah 6:3, one said unto the other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. They saw that which God had made, and it was reflecting his glory. God is good in creation. His tender mercies are over all his works. God is good in creation. But not only do we see that God is good in creation, God is good to his creatures. Now notice with me verse 16. It says, thou openest thy hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord, by His goodness, supplies His creation and His creatures with their every need. These first two points are greatly illustrated in Psalm 104. Turn back over there and we'll look at a few select verses from Psalm 104 about how God is good in creation, how God is good to His creatures, how that He is sustaining and He is taking care and He is feeding and He is overwatching and taking care of all things in creation. Psalm 104, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great and art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of the chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walks upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angel spirits and ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever." As one has said, God stepped out from nowhere onto nothing and said, "Let there be," and there was. Verse 11, "They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He waters the hills from the chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that He may bring forth food out of the earth." You see how God is sustaining the things that He has created. He's taking care of His creatures. Verse 19, "He appointeth the moon for the seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun rises, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches." All creation, verse 27, "These wait upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That Thou givest them, they gather, you open your hand, and they are filled with good." Psalm 147, 9 says, "He giveth to the beast his food, and the young ravens which cry." So God is good in creating all that He has made. And God is good to His creatures in seeing that they are satisfied, that they are taken care of. John MacArthur said, "God made all of His creation to give. He made the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the earth, the plants to give. He also designed His supreme creation, man, to give. But fallen man is the most reluctant giver in all of God's creation. And yet, He's still good to us. Notice in verse 9 of our text in Psalm 145, verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to some. The Lord is good to His people." No, it says the Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. This statement is clear that God, in general, by His common grace, is good to all of mankind. Psalm 36:6 says, "Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, Jesus said, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. So Jesus is saying that God is good to all, both sinner and saint. He causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, what is the context of that passage? What is the context in which Jesus is speaking from there? He says, you've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do this? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do this? Verse 48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus is teaching us there to be good to those who do us bad, to be good and to do right unto those that are evil. Now, if Jesus is instructing us, and he even says that in this way, you will be like your Father in heaven. God is good to all. He's good to both sinner and saint. He's given life. Right now, God is giving life to every creature. Every evil person who breathes is breathing his air. He's given strength to their legs to walk, their hands to work, their minds to think. The fist that raises to God in contempt is lifted by the strength in which he gives it. Brilliant minds that explain away God. God gives them that ability to reason and to think. The arm that swung the hammer, that nailed the nails into the feet and hands of Jesus, was empowered by the one he pierced. When we think of the evil that is pouring forth from the deeds of men in our day, and to think that God continues to give them breath, causes their hearts to beat, it's because he is a God of extreme goodness and of tender mercy. But one day, the cup of the wrath will be filled. It will be enough. And we see the end of their demise in verse 20 of our text. Psalm 145 verse 20 says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked he will destroy. You see, because he's good, this must be the case. Verse 17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Maybe you've heard Paul Washer say, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is God is love. The bad news is God is love. Because he's a God of love, because he's a God of goodness, he must be just. He must be right in punishing the wicked, the evil, the God-haters, the Christ-rejectors. And this is where our final point comes in. God is good in the new creation. The latter part of verse 10, it says, and thy saints shall bless thee. Verses 18 through 20. It says, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill their desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserves all them that love him. God is good in creation. God is good to his creatures, and God is good, and may I say, God is most good in the new creation. Thy saints shall bless thee. The saints are his chosen people, his peculiar people, his called out ones, the sheep of his pasture, his church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's one thing that God created all things that are. And when he created everything that is, he created everything out of nothing. He took nothing and made everything. And that was good. But when he takes a detestable, dead, vile, God-hater and makes him new, takes out his heart of stone and sets in him a heart of flesh, that one that was set against God and now does such a work in him, that he's no longer the same. He is a new creation. He is a new creature. This is exceptionally good. The work that is wrought in the gospel is a good work. That's why the gospel is the good news. Amen. There in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creature. He's something that he wasn't before. But there's still old things there that need to pass away. And new things need to come. Behold, things are becoming new now. That which was must be sanctified. that which is and is to come will be glorified. I think we kind of sang that a while ago, didn't we? What is this that God has done? How is it that he's done this? Let's look there in 2 Corinthians. Let's follow that text along. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For here is how he did it. Here is how God, in the new creation, takes that which is set against him and sets it toward him. He hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus didn't come to save those who were well, but those who were sick. He didn't come to save the righteous, but those who come to know and understand that they are unrighteous. In Romans 5, 6, listen to these words. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. There are some who risk their lives pretty much on a daily basis to protect others. Bodyguards, people of this sort, who will literally lay down their life for the person they are protecting. That could happen. But is there anyone who's ready to defend the evil man? The murderer? The rapist? But God demonstrated, he commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Jesus did not die for us because we were worthy. You weren't worth dying for. He died for us because we were unworthy. Because we were unjust. He died for the sinner, for the glory of the Father, to fulfill the Father's will. For God to take sinners and make them his own is a good God. Amen. And Drew read a text a while ago. Before that last song, it was 1 Corinthians 6. And he made the point that I want to make here again. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I say, and such were all of us. We could not inherit the kingdom of God. These such people do not inherit the kingdom of God. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Do you see what He has done? What a good God has done. Such a good thing in making sinners righteous through the blood of His Son. The rejection that should have been received by us. The wrath of God that should have been received by us was received on our behalf in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this perfect one who lived this perfect life in our place, the only perfect man, is receiving the punishment of unworthy sinners so that we can be made perfect in Him. This is good. This is a good thing that our God has done. God is good. All of these facts, all of these things that we see that God has done should cause us to proclaim that He is good. Romans 2:4 states this, Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. You see, it's only by the Spirit of God, through the working of the gospel, through the Word of God, it's only by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, through the gospel being heard, being preached, you receiving it, you thinking upon it, you looking upon it, you reading it, then all of a sudden, God causes something to happen in you that you couldn't see before. You see that you really are a sinner. You see that you really are detestable. You see that you really are a wretch. And you really do deserve the wrath of God. You might even say that you side with God against yourself. And you say, yes, Lord, you would be just. You would be right if you threw me in hell. Just thump me over into the pit because that's what I deserve. And then to think that he gives you another breath, the goodness and the love of God floods your soul. And you say, how can he do this to me, knowing what I deserve? Yet he gives me another breath. Yet he lets me, he's long-suffering. His goodness, his forbearance. How can this not lead you to repent? And not only is he giving you another breath, let's take it to the highest heights. He's giving you his son. He's giving you Christ, his son, that you might receive the greatest treasure, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how good God was and is by giving sinful men his son. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Oh, sinner friend and child of God alike, how can we not look to this good God this morning and it not lead us to repentance of the great things he's done for us? Let's pray. Father, how can we not be in awe and be in wow of what you've done? And just getting a glimpse this morning, just barely scraping the surface of your great goodness. But Father, seeing this most glorious thing that you've done in giving your Son to come for sinful men, sinful women, sinful children, and that he would take our place. Father, maybe one is here today and you're allowing them to see what they never could see before. The wretchedness of themselves. To see that every sin they've ever committed is because they did not want Christ. But now they see the unworthiness and the nothingness of their sin and the goodness and the gloriousness of Christ. May you save, Lord. May you work. May you move in our hearts. For the glory of your Son, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.